the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on this festive weekend between Christmas and New Year's Day, a time of rejoicing over the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and a time to look forward with hope to a new year that often allows us, quote, to start over. During these festive days, let's make time, not just find time, for reflection, for setting new and inspiring goals, for spending more time with and for others, for asking the Lord to help us bring peace, joy, love, and understanding into the world. And let's not forget laughter. Laughter produces joy. It's contagious. There's a proverb that says, if you're too busy to laugh, you're too busy. Nobel laureate Thomas Mann said, laughter is a sunbeam of the soul. On that joyful note, I want to tell you about the special I've prepared after the news segment, a piece I love to offer my listeners at Christmas time, Pope John Paul's Christmas letter to children that he wrote at the end of the 1994 Year of the Family. So gather everyone around the nativity scene or the Christmas tree to hear the wonderful words of a pope who became a saint. But first, these news stories. Sunday, December 21st. At the Angelus, Pope Leo reflected on the figure of Saint Joseph, recalling the virtues he lived of piety, charity, and mercy that educate the heart to encounter Christ and our brothers and sisters. As we await the birth of the Savior, said Leo, Joseph encourages us to be a welcoming manger, a hospitable home, a sign of God's presence, so that all children may live in peace. The Holy Father had special words for children in St. Peter's Square because that Sunday they brought their bambinelli, their little statues of baby Jesus that will be placed in nativity scenes in homes and schools, to him for his annual blessing. Dear children, said Leo, as you stand before your nativity scenes, please pray to Jesus for the Pope's intentions as well. In particular, let us pray together that all the world's children may live in peace. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And together with the bambinelli and all the expressions of our faith in the child Jesus, may the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit always bless you. I wish you all a happy Sunday and a holy, peaceful Christmas. Monday, December 22nd. Mission and communion were two of the key themes of Pope Leo's address during the traditional exchange of Christmas greetings with members of the Roman Curia in the Paul VI Hall. He recalled his beloved predecessor Francis and his encouragement to be a church that is welcoming to all. Consider, he said, the major ecclesial, pastoral, and social challenges, and become signs of peace for a world marked by conflict. Later, in the same hall, in the traditional Christmas greetings to Vatican employees, Pope Leo invited them to learn simplicity and humility from Jesus' birth this Christmas, and to ensure that this becomes the style of the Church. Also Monday, the Vatican published Pope Leo XIV's apostolic letter, A Fidelity That Generates the Future, marking the 60th anniversary of the Second Vatican Council's decrees on priestly training, life, and ministry. Aimed at a deeper understanding of the ministry and role of priests, Leo highlighted fidelity expressed in humble service to every person, constant dialogue with God, ongoing formation, and fraternity among priests and with the whole world. Tuesday, December 23rd. Having spent Monday evening and Tuesday at Castel Gandolfo, Pope Leo addressed journalists Tuesday evening before returning to Rome, issuing this appeal from the papal residence. I once again make this appeal to all people of goodwill, that at least on the feast of the birth of the Savior, one day of peace may be respected. Wednesday, December 24th. In his first Christmas liturgy as Pope, Leo XIV celebrated the Christmas Vigil Mass in St. Peter's Basilica, and he encouraged the faithful to announce the joy of Christmas and to celebrate it as a feast of faith, hope, and charity. He said, "Into time and space in our midst comes the one without whom we would not exist. He who gives his life for us lives among us, illuminating the night with his light of salvation. There is no darkness that this star does not illumine, for by its light all humanity beholds the dawn of a new and eternal life." The Nativity of Jesus, he said, rekindles in us the gift and task of bringing hope wherever hope has been lost, because with him joy flourishes, with him life changes, with him hope does not disappoint. At the end of Mass, the Pope carried the small statue of the baby Jesus, placed earlier near the papal altar, up the main aisle to be placed in the Basilica's Nativity scene. Thursday, December 25th. Pope Leo celebrated Christmas morning Mass in St. Peter's Basilica, becoming the first pope to do so since Pope John Paul II more than 30 years ago. In his homily, the Holy Father said, "A new day has dawned, and we too are part of this new beginning, even if few as yet believe it. Peace is real and is already among you." "Since God's word became flesh," said Leo, "humanity now speaks, crying out with God's own desire to encounter us. It's when the fragility of others penetrates our hearts, when their pain shatters our rigid certainties, that peace has already begun. There will be peace when our monologues are interrupted and when we, enriched by listening, fall to our knees before the humanity of the other." After Christmas Mass, imparting the Urbi and Orbi blessing from the central balcony of the Basilica, Leo XIV wished everyone a Merry Christmas in 10 languages. "Merry Christmas, may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts and in your families," he said in Italian, French, English, German, Spanish, Portuguese, Polish, Arabic, Mandarin Chinese, and Latin. "Thank you, Holy Father." The Holy Door at St. Mary Major Basilica was closed on Christmas Day, with Cardinal Rolandus Macrinkus, Archpriest of the Papal Basilica, inviting the faithful to remain open to hearing the Word, welcoming the other, and forgiveness. The Holy Door at St. John Lateran will be closed on December 27th, and that of St. Paul's Outside the Walls on Sunday, December 28th. The final Holy Door to be closed is that of St. Peter's Basilica on January 6th, Feast of the Epiphany, an official end to the Jubilee Year of Hope. Friday, December 26th, the Feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr. Leo recited the Angelus and invited the faithful to contemplate martyrdom not as an end, but as a beginning, a birth into heaven that reveals what it truly means to come into the light. With the eyes of faith, he said, even death is no longer darkness. Well, those are the news highlights, but stay right here for my special on Pope John Paul's 1994 Christmas letter to children.
This is Father Gail Hammerschmidt of St. Isidore's Catholic Student Center on the campus of Kansas State University. When I was young, they used to tell me, you know that you become what you eat. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that my thoughts will affect who I become. And when I listen to Catholic radio, I am surrounded by the thoughts that lead me to His glory. I invite you as well to find power in Catholic radio.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
How many times have you heard the complaint that the church is boring? Well, the problem is not that church is boring, it's that we are bored. We are the problem. We've lost our childlike sense of wonder. G.K. Chesterton says the children have abounding vitality, and yet they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, "Do it again," and the grown-up person does it until he's nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony, but perhaps God is strong enough to exult in monotony. It's possible that God says every morning, "Do it again," to the sun, and every evening, "Do it again," to the moon.
Spend more time with the Apostle of Common Sense. Visit Chesterton.org for more information and go to EWTNRC.com to discover more books and programs written and inspired by G.K. Chesterton.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider on this holiday weekend, having welcomed at the birth of our Lord and Savior on Christmas Day. In place of an interview today, I have a very special treat. I'm going to read Pope St. John Paul's 1994 Christmas message to children. This was occasioned by the 1994 Year of the Family. If you are a child or a parent, grandparent, aunt, or uncle, and have small children near you, this is for you. I knew this wonderful Pope when I worked at the Vatican for many years, and I saw his love for families, for little children, and for youth. It was so powerful and beautiful, just like this letter. I've shortened it just a little bit for time considerations. First, allow me to wish you a blessed Christmas and a happy, healthy, and joy-filled New Year. Now, you might want to gather around your nativity scene as I read this. Jesus is born, starts the Holy Father. In a few days, we shall celebrate Christmas, the holy day that is so full of meaning for all children in every family. Christmas is the feast day of a child, of a newborn baby. So it's your feast day, too. You wait patiently for it, and you get ready for it with joy, counting the days and even the hours to the holy night of Bethlehem. I can almost see you. You're setting up the crib at home, in the parish, in every corner of the world, recreating the surroundings and the atmosphere in which the Savior was born. Yes, it's true. At Christmas time, the stable and the manger take center place in the church, and everyone hurries to go there to make a spiritual pilgrimage like the shepherds did on the night of Jesus' birth. Later, it will be the Magi, the three kings, arriving from the distant east, following the star to the place where the Redeemer of the universe lay. You too, during the days of Christmas, visit cribs, and you stop to look at the child lying in the hay. You look at his mother, and you look at Saint Joseph, the Redeemer's guardian. As you look at the Holy Family, you think of your own family, the family in which you came into this world. You think of your mother, who gave you birth, and of your father. Both of them provide for the family and for your upbringing, for it is the parents' duty not only to have children, but also to bring them up from the moment of their birth. Dear children, as I write to you, said Pope John Paul, I'm thinking of when many years ago I was a child like you. I, too, used to experience the peaceful feelings of Christmas, and when the Star of Bethlehem shone, I would hurry to the crib together with the other boys and girls to relive what happened 2,000 years ago in Palestine. We children expressed our joy mostly in song. How beautiful and moving are the Christmas carols that in the tradition of every people are sung around the crib. What deep thoughts they contain, and above all, what joy and tenderness they express about the divine child who came into the world that holy night. The days that follow the birth of Jesus are also feast days. So 8 days afterward, according to the Old Testament tradition, the child was given a name. He was called Jesus. After 40 days, we commemorate his presentation in the temple, like every other firstborn son of Israel. On that occasion, an extraordinary meeting took place. Mary, when she arrived in the temple with the child, was met by an old man, Simeon, who took the baby Jesus in his arms and spoke these prophetic words. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel. Then, speaking to his mother Mary, Simeon added, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken, and a sword will pierce through your heart also. So already in the very first days of Jesus' life, we hear Simeon talk of the foretelling of the Passion, which will one day include his mother Mary, too. On Good Friday, she will stand silently by the cross of her son. Also, not much time will pass after his birth before the baby Jesus finds himself facing a very grave danger. The cruel King Herod will order all children under the age of 2 to be killed, and for this reason, Jesus will be forced to flee with his parents into Egypt. You certainly know all about these events connected to the birth of Jesus. They are told to you by your parents and by priests, teachers, and catechists. And each year you relive them spiritually at Christmas time together with the whole church. So you know about these dramatic aspects of Jesus' infancy. Dear friends, in what happened to the child of Bethlehem, you can recognize what happens to children throughout the world. It's true that a child represents the joy not only of its parents, but also the joy of the church and the whole of society. But it is also true that in our days, unfortunately, many children in different parts of the world are suffering and they're being threatened. They are hungry and poor. They are dying from diseases and malnutrition. They are the victims of war. They are abandoned by their parents and condemned to remain without a home, without the warmth of a family of their own. They suffer many forms of violence and arrogance from grown-ups. How can we not care when we see the suffering of so many children, especially when this suffering is in some ways caused by grown-ups? Jesus brings the truth, writes Pope John Paul. The child whom we see in the manger at Christmas grew up as the years passed. When he was 12, as you now know, he went for the first time with Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. There, in the crowds of pilgrims, he was separated from his parents and with other boys and girls of his own age. He had stopped to listen to the teachers in the temple for a sort of catechism lesson. The holidays were good opportunities for handing on the faith to children who were about the same age as Jesus. But on this occasion, it happened that this extraordinary boy who had come from Nazareth not only asked very intelligent questions, but also started to give profound answers to those who were teaching him. The questions, and even more, the answers, astonished the temple teachers. It was the same amazement that later on would mark Jesus' public preaching. The episode in the Temple of Jerusalem was simply the beginning, and it was a kind of foreshadowing of what would happen some years later. Dear boys and girls who are the same age as the 12-year-old Jesus, are you not reminded now of the religion lessons in the parish and at school, lessons which you are invited to take part in? So I would like to ask you some questions, continues Pope John Paul in his Christmas letter. What do you think of your religion lessons? Do you become involved like the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple? Do you regularly go to these lessons at school and in the parish? Do your parents help you to do so? The 12-year-old Jesus became so interested in the religion lesson in the Temple of Jerusalem that, in a sense, he even forgot about his own parents. In fact, Mary and Joseph, having started off on the journey back to Nazareth with other pilgrims, soon realized Jesus was not with them. They searched hard for him. They went back, and only on the third day did they find him in Jerusalem, in the temple. Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously. How strange is Jesus' answer to Mary and Joseph, and how it makes us stop and think. Jesus says, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house? It was a difficult answer to accept. The evangelist Luke, wrote Pope John Paul, simply adds that Mary kept all these things in her heart. In fact, it was an answer that would be understood only later, when Jesus, as a grown-up, began to preach and say that for his heavenly Father, he was ready to face any sufferings and even death on the cross. From Jerusalem, Jesus went back with Mary and Joseph to Nazareth, where he was obedient to them. Regarding this period before his public preaching began, the Gospel notes only that, quote, he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Dear children, continues the Pope's 1994 Christmas letter, in the child whom you look at in the crib, You must also try to see the 12-year-old boy in the temple in Jerusalem, talking with the teachers. He is the same grown man who later, at 30 years old, will begin to preach the word of God, who will choose the 12 apostles, who will be followed by crowds thirsting for truth. At every step, he will confirm his extraordinary teaching with signs of divine power. He will give sight to the blind, heal the sick, even raise the dead. And among the dead whom he will bring back to life, there will be the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus and the son of the widow of Nain, given back alive to his weeping mother. It is really true. This child, now just born, once he is grown up as teacher of divine truth, will show an extraordinary love for children. He will say to the apostles, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them." And he will add, "For to such belongs the kingdom of God." Another time, as the apostles are arguing about who is the greatest, he will put a child in front of them and say, "Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." On that occasion, he spoke harsh words of warning. "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." How important children are in the eyes of Jesus, exclaims Pope John Paul in his letter. We could even say the gospel is full of the truth about children. The whole of the gospel could actually be read as the gospel of children. Well, what does that mean? Unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Is not Jesus pointing to children as models even for grown-ups? In children, there is something that must never be missing in people who want to enter the kingdom of heaven. People who are destined to go to heaven are simple, like children. And, like children, are full of trust, rich in goodness and pure. Only people of this sort can find in God a Father, and thanks to Jesus, can become in their own turn children of God. Is this not the main message of Christmas? We read in St. John, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." And again, "To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God." Children of God. You, dear children, are sons and daughters of your parents. God wants us all to become his adopted children by grace. Here we have the real reason for Christmas joy, the joy I am writing to you about at the end of this 1994 year of the family. Be happy in this gospel of divine sonship. In this joy, I hope that the coming Christmas holidays will bear abundant fruit in this year of the family. Dear friends, there is no doubt that an unforgettable meeting with Jesus is First Holy Communion, a day to be remembered as one of life's most beautiful. The Eucharist, instituted by Christ at the Last Supper on the night before his Passion, is a sacrament of the New Covenant, rather the greatest of the sacraments. In this sacrament, the Lord becomes food for the soul under the appearances of bread and wine. Children receive this sacrament solemnly a first time in First Holy Communion and are encouraged to receive it afterward as often as possible to remain in close friendship with Jesus. To be able to receive communion, as you know, it's necessary to have received baptism. This is the first of the sacraments and the one most necessary for salvation. Baptism is a great event. In the church's first centuries, when baptism was received mostly by grown-ups, the ceremony ended with receiving the Eucharist and was as solemn as First Holy Communion is today. Later, when baptism began to be given mainly to newborn babies, the case of many of you, dear children, so in fact you don't remember your baptism, the more solemn celebration was transferred to the moment of First Holy Communion. Every boy and every girl belonging to a Catholic family knows all about this custom. First Holy Communion is a great family celebration. On that day, together with the one who is making his or her first Holy Communion, the parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, godparents, and sometimes also the instructors and teachers, generally receive the Eucharist. The day of First Holy Communion is also a great day of celebration in the parish. I remember as though it was yesterday when, together with the other boys and girls of my own age, I received the Eucharist for the first time in the parish church of my town. At the end of his Christmas letter to children, John Paul wrote, "Dear boys and girls, let me recall the words of a psalm which have always moved me. Laudate pueri Dominum. Praise, O children of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, may the name of the Lord be praised." As I meditate on the words of this psalm, the faces of all the world's children pass before my eyes. From the east to the west, from the north to the south, it is to you, young friends, without distinction of language, race, or nationality, that I say, praise the name of the Lord. The highly favored Son of God becomes present among us as a newborn baby. Gathered around him, the children of every nation on earth feel his eyes upon them, eyes full of the Heavenly Father's love, and they rejoice because God loves them. What joy is greater than the joy which you, O Jesus, bring at Christmas to people's hearts, and especially to the hearts of children? Raise your tiny hand, Divine Child, and bless these young friends of yours. Bless the children of all the earth. And thus ends Pope St. John Paul's beautiful letter to children from 1994.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.